Well, what a great day just to worship the Lord. To stop and consider that all the blessings of this life we have because of our Savior Jesus Christ. God is good. He is good to us. Turn in the Bibles, please, in your Bibles to the book of John. We continue our study about a deeper relationship with Jesus. And today, we're going to see Jesus as the servant that He was. The book of John, chapter 13. We'll begin reading in verse 3. And if you would, stand in reverence to the Word of God. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper, laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. Then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, "Lord, are You washing My feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I'm doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to Him, "You shall never wash My feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with Me." Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For He knew who would betray Him. Therefore, He said, you are not all clean." So when He had washed their feet, taken His garments, and sat down again, He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, again, we approach your throne of grace, asking for your guidance in your word. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself through your word. That, Lord, you will open eyes, hearts, ears to receive the word. Father, I pray that you will move among us today through the power of your Holy Spirit, convicting of sin and drawing all men to you. Now, Lord, we are before you. Correct us. Fix our brokenness. Remove our pride. And do, Lord, as you see fit for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus the servant. As we read the text, the first thing that I want to call your attention to is verse 4, where it said that Jesus laid aside His garments. Now, if you're not careful, you'll just breeze through that and not really stop and get a grasp on the significance of that. In the verses just prior to that, verse 3, it said that God had given all things into the hands of Jesus, and having placed all things in Jesus' hands, now Jesus had the right as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, as well as the opportunity to do whatever He decided was appropriate. He's in that room with His disciples. And He did not tell His disciples at this point, "I am the Creator of the universe. Bow down before Me." He did not tell His disciples, "You are subject in My great kingdom. Worship Me." He did not tell His disciples, I am God in the flesh. Bow down. You know what Jesus did? It said He laid aside His garments. And what it's talking about, it's basically if I were to just to take off my jacket, okay, and lay it to the side. And it says He girded Himself with a towel. Jesus, having all things at His discretion, stepped out of the role as the Messiah, as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He stepped aside from that role for a moment, and He took on the clothing of a slave. I want you to just kind of meditate on that just a moment. Jesus, the Son of God, laid aside His role as the Son of God and took on the clothing of a mere slave. Now, we what we're looking at, Jesus, we know, is going to wash His disciples' feet. And that was a common practice in that day. The reason was because they wore sandals. The roads were dirty and they walked everywhere they went. So, as they would walk, of course, their feet would get dirty. The first thing they would do when they would come into a home was wash their feet. Now, if you were visiting the common man's home, the normal practice was that the host or that man would provide you with water and a towel and you'd wash your own feet. But if you came into a rich person's home, that rich person would provide you with a slave to wash your feet for you. That slave would have been the lowest of all slaves in that household. He would have been considered the lowest class member of the slaving community. And he would bend down before you, wash your feet, and provide that service. And Jesus, the Son of God, momentarily demoted Himself to the lowest class of slaves that were in existence and began to wash the feet of His disciples. That just kind of makes me go, wow. Wow. It says that He began to wash their feet. Jesus washed their feet. And as He goes through the disciples, He comes to Peter. And you know Peter's always got something to say about everything. Peter asked Jesus, "Are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus said, "Well, Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing, but you will." So Peter backs up and says, "Whoa, Jesus. You will never wash my feet." Now, you have to understand that word never. The Greek word is eon. The idea is ever, ever, for ages to come. Never, ever will this happen. I will not allow this to happen. Lord, this is beneath You. And Peter's not trying to be disrespectful. Peter, in his own prideful way, is trying to be respectful of who Jesus is. He's saying, "Lord, You're the Son of God. You shouldn't be washing feet." But he didn't understand the message that Jesus was teaching. You see, it wasn't about washing Peter's feet. It was about the Son of God who stepped out of heaven and gave up His position as God to come to this earth and live as God in the flesh for the purpose of serving as the Savior of mankind. Now listen, that is a demotion when you consider you were in heaven, now you're walking this earth as a man. And not just any man. But the Lamb of God that would soon pay for the sin of the world. See, Peter's looking at Jesus as the Messiah, not as the servant. Peter actually had a pride problem. Peter had a pride problem. When he said, "No, Lord, not you'll never wash my feet." It was Peter's pride getting in the way. See, pride will always hinder God's wonderful gift of grace. We think of this event as just Jesus humbling Himself. And He did. I want you to grab that. What Jesus laid aside when He laid aside His garment. He became the lowest of all slaves. And I don't want you to lose sight of that fact. But there's another humility that's missing in the life of Peter. When he said, "Jesus, you will never, ever, ever wash my feet." I want you to think about it like this. Imagine if you were in that room. And you were the apostles. And you knew Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, in the flesh. And you sitting in Peter's seat, Jesus comes dressed in the most lowly of slave attire. He kneels at your feet. And He begins to wash your feet. And rub your feet. How would that make you feel? I can tell you how that would make me feel. I would melt. Has someone ever done something for you that just made you melt? That would make all pride that I have, knowing this is the Son of God, this washing my feet, it'd make me just want to shout, "Unworthy, unworthy, unworthy. Please don't, Jesus. You're way too good for this. Because I know the dirty sinner that I am." I would have felt about as big as the tiniest of bugs at this point, as the pride would have just oozed out of me should the Son of God wash my feet. But you know what? It's that pride that gives a problem. In today, it's that kind of pride that stands in the way of people beginning a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus did come to this earth as the servant. Mark chapter 10 verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, came to this earth. He was tried before Pilate as a common criminal. He was scourged by the Roman soldiers as a common thug. He was nailed to a cross to die as a transgressor of the law. He did it because I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why He did it. You see, people today do not want to say, "I have sinned." As a matter of fact, people today, the only way you can offend them is to tell them that they've done something wrong. That's why we're living in this society of which the only people that are wrong today are the Christians who are saying that sin is wrong. Because they don't want to hear that. They want to hear that everybody is the same and we're just all going to heaven and let's hold hands and be happy to... No! The fact is, we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is no hope for us aside from this servant Messiah who left heaven to come to this earth to serve as the sacrifice for my sins. And when you realize, wow, this was my Jesus. Doesn't it kind of make you feel like an insect? Jesus wore that crown for me because I was a sinner. Jesus was nailed to that cross because
because I was a sinner. Jesus was spat upon because I was a sinner. And Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Which means paid in full because I was a sinner. Have you ever been in financial trouble? Somebody come to your rescue? And you just want to say, "Thank you. I would have been bankrupt had it not been for you." You see, we're in sin trouble. And you'd be bankrupt were it not for the servant's heart of the Savior who loves you. Man. You see, we've got to learn to humble ourselves and come to grips with the fact that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, your sin may be different. One may be homosexuality. Another may be fornication. Another may be pornography. Another, and we can go on and on. But listen, the bottom line is we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is no hope apart from this servant Savior. But you know what else? It doesn't stop with salvation. You see, let's apply this to where we are today, because Jesus reveals a spiritual truth here. That's not only for those who need to be saved, but it's for those who are saved. Did you know the believers need to wash their feet? I smiled when we were raising our kids. We would travel, you know, we lived in Mississippi, and we would travel back over to Arkansas. And one day we were in the car, and Adam decided to take off his shoes. And we were in a, at that time, driving little Mazda 323. So we've got three kids in a very compacted area. And I think it was Adam. I believe it was. Bless his heart if he sees this. He's going to shoot me. But anyway. But he took off his shoes. And he was in the habit of wearing tennis shoes with no socks. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? There was an odor that immediately filled that car. Beth and I weren't saved. We were begging him, "Son, put your shoes on. Please, don't take those shoes off again." Why? Because he had dirty feet. You know the lesson in this, we look at the act of washing feet and there are people, there are churches who practice foot washing ceremonies. You know, that's not what it was about. It was about teaching a lesson. And one of the lessons, the major lesson here, is that believers need their feet washed. It's a spiritual lesson, not a physical lesson. You and I, as believers, walk in this world. This is a rough world we walk in. It's a dirty, nasty world, and it's getting dirtier and nastier all the time. I mean, I could talk to you about what's on TV and what's at the movies, and I could tell you about what a terrible... I don't have to tell you. You know. Here's the problem. You can't walk in a mud hole and have clean feet. I remember the old gumbo. I grew up in the delta of central Arkansas, over there eastern Arkansas, and there were some fields we call gumbos. If you walked in that gumbo, your feet just got bigger and bigger as it collected the mud. The farther you went, the bigger your feet got, until they weighed 10 pounds apiece, and you're just doing this number. They got dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. You know that's kind of how it is for the child of God. The longer we live in this world, the longer we battle the battles of this world. And don't pretend like you're not battling. We're all battling. The longer we go, our feet gets dirtier and dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. And we come to the point where pretty soon, you know, things sin doesn't bother us anymore. We can watch those dirty movies, those filthy, nasty language movies. We can see stuff and we're not moved by it. Why? Because we got dirty feet. We've seen it so much, it doesn't bother us. There has to be a regular routine of God's people washing their feet. A symbol of spiritual purity. You see, when it comes to that, we think we're saved, I've taken care of it, that's enough. No. Do you realize preachers have to repent? If preachers need to repent from time to time, church members need to repent from time to time. Amen? I'm not pointing a finger at you accusing you of anything. I'm stating a fact. You can't walk in this world and the mud not get on you. Okay? Do not let it build up, because over time it will affect your relationship with Jesus Christ. How do you take care of it? Oh, you take it to the Lord. Those attitudes that you know should not be present in your life, take it to the Lord. Lord, cleanse me. I know I should not think like this, but Lord, please take it away. Listen, if you don't take it to the Lord, it'll still be there tomorrow. And I have also figured out that I can say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to think that way anymore. Well, keep on trying and see how that works for you. You'll make it a day, if that long. See, you need a cleansing. Churches today need a cleansing, but we as Christians have become so prideful that we don't want to kneel anymore. We don't want to let Jesus wash our feet anymore. We just want to continue, be comfortable, meet, you know, and forget about it. No. I hear all the time people, Christians, talk about God just feels so distant. When's the last time you got on your knees and just poured out, God, cleanse me of my sin? We're all fighting the battle. Okay? And even as Christians, I'll be honest with you, when I bow before the Lord and I confess my shortcomings, sometimes I feel about this big. No, all the time I feel about this big. Because I know what my Savior did for me. And I see my failures and I just want to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The greatest tragedy of today's church is the empty altar. I've said that repeatedly through the years. Because people don't want their feet washed. Jesus has given us an example. And it's a spiritual example. I'll be honest with you. If you want to wash somebody's feet, literally, go wash their feet. I'm all for you. Have at it, you know. But if you think that's all there is to this point, you're missing it. You're missing. Jesus wasn't given some new church ordinance here. He's given an attitude. He's given an example. He's saying that I've given you the example. Do what I do. That word example means to imitate or like, be like the original. Jesus has given us something that He expects, or He set a pattern that He expects us to follow. He said, you call me teacher and Lord. And He said, well, I am. If I've washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. That word ought means obligated, indebted to. Jesus is saying, since I've done this for you, you are under obligation to do it for one another. And He's not talking about get out the soap and water. It is our obligation. Here's the point. Are you ready? It's our obligation as believers to put off our garments
from time to time and take on the garments of a servant. I'm going to say that again. It is our obligation as believers to put off our garments. If it's just me, maybe I need to take off the pastor garments. If it's a deacon, maybe he needs to take off his deacon garments. If it's something, you know, a teacher, whatever the case, you lay that aside for a moment and pick up the clothing of a servant. And you begin to wash the feet of fellow believers. Brother Doug, what does that look like? I'm going to give you the toughest of tough examples. You see, we have a lot of believers who are in trouble today. A lot of believers who have been caught up in sin and their life's headed the wrong direction. And you look at them and you just know this is not going to turn out well. Believers who are immoral. Believers who make poor decisions. Believers whose feet are really, really dirty. Hardest thing as a fellow believer is to approach another believer and say, "Look, I love you. And I care about you. But the sin that's consuming your life has got to stop because it's going to destroy you. You want to serve somebody? You help deliver them from the dirt of this world." See, we want to sit on the sidelines. Well, boy, I know what's going to happen to them. I see where they're going. Why? Because it's easier to sit on the sidelines than to pick up the towel and serve. You see, if you get involved in those lives that are burdened and caught up in sin and headed down that wrong direction, you get involved in those lives, it gets messy. And you learn more than you want to know. I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, there's a lot of times I just want to close my ears. Please don't tell me. Please don't tell me. Please don't tell me. Oh, you told me. But it's okay. It's okay. It's required of a servant to be involved, to help them get out of the mess they're in. Help them wash their feet so they can once again have a right relationship with Jesus. And I'll tell you something, it's not just my job as the pastor. It's all of our job to be concerned for the spiritual well-being of one another. Now true, some they may tell you, "Well, this is none of your business what I'm doing." That's okay. Alright? Don't quit. "Leave me alone." "No, I love you too much to leave you alone." "I don't want to hear it." "I know you don't, but God's obviously put me in your life." All right. Be willing to get involved. I'll be honest with you. As I look at this attendance, and I see our attendance improving, and I applaud those who are here today. Thank you for being faithful. And I still understand that there are some who not received their vaccinations yet and they're concerned, and when they get their vaccinations, they'll be back. I get that. I understand that. But I want to tell you, we have a lot of people who just decided they don't have to go to church anymore. And I want you to know, number one, I love you. Okay? But you're going down a bad road. It's not going to turn out well. And I want to challenge the membership today. Let's get involved. Let's go out and get them. Okay? Give them a call. "I miss you. I miss you. Come back." "Well, we will one of these days." "How about this Sunday?" You know? Let's be a servant. Let's go out and get them. There are also some other members of this church. I don't know who they are. I do not have anybody in particular in mind. But I'm sure of this. They're fighting some battles right now.
They need somebody to come alongside them. Maybe messy. It's okay. Let it be messy. You just get beside them and serve. You see, that's what God has called us to be. And that's the example that Jesus is setting. Basically, to care enough to get involved. Do you realize there were 12 men in that room? And 11 out of the 12 needed their feet washed. That's pretty big odds, isn't it? The one that didn't need his feet washed needed his whole body washed. Thought about Judas. So the first thing I want you to consider, if there are however many there are here today and those watching at home, if you're a child of God, you probably need a foot washing. Spiritually speaking. Okay? And if you're not a child of God, you belong in the Judas section. See, old Judas, it says in the text here, it says, not all of you are clean. One out of 12 was not clean. And this is the crowd that's following Jesus. If one out of 12 is not clean, and let's say, I don't know, there are 250 here today. I'm just throwing that number out there. There's some people in here today. And there's some people watching online today who are not clean. Jesus gave His life as a suffering servant because you're a sinner. He invites you and says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus has done everything He can possibly do to bring you to salvation and a relationship with Him. But you've got to take the step. I look back and I think about old Judas, and man, he walked with Jesus every day. He saw everything Jesus did. He heard everything Jesus spoke. But he never would make the move. I've been told there are some people you cannot help. I don't know if that's true or not. But I do know there are some people who will not allow themselves to be helped. Will you allow Jesus to save you today? If you're here today and you do know you're saved and you have that assurance, I ask you, when's the last time you had a real talk with Jesus? You say, Jesus, cleanse me. Lord, there's some feelings, some thoughts, some actions, directions that I just need them removed. Lord, please cleanse me. When's the last time you had that talk with God? Well, God's brought us this message today to bring us there. Wherever you are, whether you're one of the 11 or whether you're one of Judas, my challenge and my offer to you today is Jesus wants to cleanse you. But you've got to let Him. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And today we are humbled. We're reminded that, oh, Father, Jesus, your Son, gave His life for unworthy sinners like us. And now He says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know we don't deserve it. We know we can't earn it. That all we can do is humbly come before You and receive Your marvelous gift of grace. As Your children, Lord, we're reminded there's a cleaning that's got to take place on occasion. A repentance, confession, a washing. so that our relationship with You do not become distant and hindered. Now, Lord, in this invitation, we lay it all at Your feet. Pray Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.